No. All right, the house will come to order. And we are still on third reading amendment number 22, House Bill 1. And we might have a privilege of the floor real quick. Representative Esquivel.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Over here in the balconies, I think they're spread out all over the places, Leadership Cheyenne, and it's a program sponsored each year by the Chamber of Commerce. The mission of this organization is to identify prospective and current community leaders. Participants learn more about the community, gain numerous networking opportunities, and are exposed to additional community leadership skills, and develop an understanding of a desire for civic trusteeship. And each year, at this time, the Chamber invites applicants to this program. Please welcome Leadership Cheyenne.
Yeah, no, I think we're still, you might have to help me, are we still on first time or second time? So if any of you, if I don't remember whether you went a first time, just tell me that you hadn't yet or whatever you want to do. We're still on the first round, so still on third reading amendment number 20 to House Bill 1, so step on up. Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I just wanted to, you all had these yesterday. And remember those four on this scatter, this plotted chart. And what this amendment is talking about is interest. This money all gets paid back, but we're talking about the interest off the big green mountains. I think they're green. That's what we're talking about. That's all this is. It doesn't affect all the rest of us on this blue thing. It's all about this recapture. So urge your support of the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Blickery.
Mr. Speaker, for my second time.
All right. We're still going to allow first time. I think I was. If anybody else wants to go for a first time, otherwise we can go to second time. For your second time, Representative Blickery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Fellow representatives, as far as the big green mountain, I'm not going to actually comment on whether that should happen or not. I'm not even sure whether that matters anymore. What I would like to say is that I believe that we are discussing a bill and that the best way to do this kind of a policy decision would be in a bill. So I'm just asking that you consider that when you make your vote, that we do this the proper way with a bill. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for the extra time and the opportunity to analyze this amendment and think it through. As far as the philosophy of the big green mountains and who gets the big green mountains and which five districts are being gouged and the people in those districts who are being gouged, that's fine. But you need to look at the language of this amendment. And if you follow it through, there's a problem there. And maybe we can fix it with yet another budget amendment. It says effective school year 2011-12 interest capital gains shall be deducted from funds held in the 2010-11 school year. So we're almost two-thirds of the way through the school year now. A lot of that money has been spent. And so what we're going to do is penalize the students because of the interest that we had this year, next year. And so instead of having a big green mountain, what you're doing is creating a big green divot. And so there's some date problems with this amendment. As far as the philosophy goes, I think that's for a better time, and I essentially agree with the philosophy. But creating these accidental divots by virtue of date problems and amendments is why we don't do things in budget amendments. It's why we do things in bills and have hearings on bills and think things through totally. And so I urge defeat of the amendment just because of the unintended consequences of the amendment.
And I would mention to the good majority floor leader, if you have a better idea for dates, pursuant to House Rule 24-7, you can make a technical correction to this amendment.
And Mr. Speaker, that would probably be friendly.
It would be very friendly. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
You got one more. Chairman Teeters before the sponsor.
Thank you. I haven't had a chance to give that a whole lot of thought. My understanding is that the way that we technically account and deal with the funding is that it's always 1 year in the rear. That is not a red flag. It's just simply the way we account for recapture dollars and the way the process works now. There's no other way to do it.
Representative Harshman for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I want to really drive that point home because the good chairman of education hit it right on the head. And all these things are done a year past. And so I think the real issue again, you know, we talked yesterday, all these other issues, but the real issue is this constitutionality of this. And so this is important for that reason. The dollars really are not that big a deal in this. Not near as much of the ramifications that we talked about. But I think the constitutionality part of this is important. So I urge your adoption of the amendment. Thank you.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would ask you to support this and just remind you that the reason it seems so familiar like a bill is because you had a bill yesterday and you defeated it, a bill that we spent the summer working on. Or maybe I should say that we spent time gathering the information and looking at the inequities in the way we're distributing the funds for school education. That's really why this came about. It was about the disparities between small and large school districts. It was about how could we make it more effective for all school districts. Does it make our community stronger? I think it does. And it makes our business managers have a much easier way of managing their funds. And so I would ask for your support of this amendment.
All those in favor of...
Mr. Speaker, Mr.
Minority,
under House Rule 13-3, I would call for the ayes and the noes.
Thank you very much. Pursuant to the request and the second, the chief clerk will call the roll on third reading amendment number 20 to House Bill 1.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Flickery.
No.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
No.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft. Davison, excused. Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
No.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
No.
Hunt.
No.
Illaway.
No.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
No.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone. Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Lubnow.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
No.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Excuse.
Peterson, excused. Petroff.
No.
Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
No.
Semlick.
No.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart,
no.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Vronish.
No.
Wallace.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 33 ayes, 25 noes, 2 excused.
The amendment is adopted. We are on amendment number, third reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 1. Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Sorry for my delay. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, the 61st. This amendment was really brought to your attention by the good representative from Johnson County. It was some of our testimony. It involves the state-owned road and right-of-way and a bridge over the North Platte River to the State Veterans Cemetery. There were some easements that were improperly constructed onto that from a subdivision from a local community. And there's a little bit of an issue, and we want to make sure before this, any bit of this money is spent, that, and I think all the folks are in concert with this, the mayor of the town, the military department, all the folks involved, that before we spend any state money on this, that we make sure we have a memorandum of agreement with the town of Evansville, specifying about access, signage, responsibility for maintenance, et cetera. Stand for questions.
Representative Wanser Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a question. As I've sat on the State Building Commission for 3 years and we've had this discussion, is there anything stopping the state from just rolling over in agreeing to this memorandum of agreement? From what I remember and what I've heard the last couple of years, basically we really don't have any way to hold the town responsible for this road in any really way, shape, or form. So is there anything preventing us from just saying we'll have an MOA, but it kind of just says that the state's solely responsible for it in the end?
Anyone else for your first time? First time, second time. Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you for the question. And really, the state could, there was a map distributed to you. I won't hold that up. It's been a few days back, and it's probably gone off your tray. But the state has a gate at the beginning of the road that we could shut, and we could basically blockade those easements that really shouldn't have been there. So I think the state has all the military department in particular, has all the cards in this deal. And so I think the town of Evansville is very committed to help with snow plow, repair, you know, all those things. So I really trust our folks who are going to deal with this, who manage the cemetery, to do their best with this.
All those in favor of third reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Third reading amendment number 14 to House Bill 1, Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 14 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Folks, I am bringing a budget request for an increase, so let's just get that out there right away. But this is a program to help women and children, women in prison, bond with their babies. My understanding is there was some uncertainty at the time. The program was considered by our good committee number 2 as to whether Department of Corrections was really ready to move full steam ahead. And this proposal was brought to me by a number of groups, and it, based on the information provided by the Department of Corrections, if we appropriate this money now, the women's prison in Lusk has a building ready to go, but it requires renovation. If we appropriate the money now, they can get the renovations done yet in this season and then begin serving women and their babies. We have roughly 12 to 13 pregnant women a year on average in our women's prison. These women are generally nonviolent felons. They are likely to not be there for long, and once they leave, will begin resuming their child care responsibilities. Studies across the country have found that the babies do better and the women do better if the babies are allowed to stay at the prison with the women, roughly, my understanding is, for about 18 months, at which point then they're toddlers and they're no longer the facilities for them. But this initial bonding, including the ability to breastfeed the babies, is good for the long-term health of the children. It's good for the bonding with the mothers and the babies. And it's also good in terms of developing parenting skills for the women so that when they get out, they will be able to take over their parenting responsibilities. I recognize that we're all very reluctant to do 1.2. It's a little less than 1.2, but I'm rounding up. $1.2 million in a budget session, but this is a good program. Why not wait? Well, there are pregnant women at the prison now. And those women will not be able to take advantage of this program if we don't get it going. You know, pregnancy is a short-term stint, even though I'm sure our good friend from the middle of the state feels like it's long-term at this point in her life. But anyway, it is a time-sensitive issue, and I would appreciate your support on this amendment, and I certainly stand for any questions.
For first time, Representative Brechtel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising and reluctantly against this amendment, and I think most of you understand how passionate I am about these kinds of issues. But I think for one, though, I would really like to see how this money was planned to be used. Is there a good, solid program? It's just interesting to me that this suddenly became an issue on third reading, rising from a line item of $40,000 to $1.2 million. I recognize that every need or perceived need has really good intentions. It's usually heartfelt by somebody and generally with passion. But I am quite concerned about the spending, especially in this non-budget year. We should take a look at the fact that AML money is going away. The stimulus money is going away. Coal lease bonus money has been shrinking away. We're still growing government and growing spending in a non-budget year. And Mr. Speaker, I'm just concerned against the amendment.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just some basic logistical questions to the good sponsor. When we toured the new medium security facility in Torrington, I don't know, must have been this fall, I think it was. When we were there, there was a separate area way far away from the men, not even anywhere near them. They had one woman there because they had one person who was pregnant. That was all they had. And they had transferred her down from Lusk down to the Torrington, because I remember talking about it because I thought it was interesting. So she wouldn't be alone. Another inmate, a woman inmate, had volunteered to come with her down to Torrington so she could have some companionship and not be completely alone during that period in her life. The two of them were down there, and they were sharing this sort of building area together. And my understanding at the time, because I remember having this long conversation with the warden about it, was that they got to stay there for a little while with the baby, and I thought it was 3 months, but maybe it was less. I could have sworn he said three. So I understand what you're saying is that you want a facility that they stay for 18 months. I'm just wanting to know why we need to hurry and do it, because the day we were there, there was just one, and it sounded like she got to stay with her child for a little while before the child went into either foster care or to a family member. Just some logistics. I just didn't understand. Are they going to stop transferring down to Torrington? Because I thought the reason they transferred down to Torrington, because that was where the medical facilities were that we just built for them, and just how that's going to work.
Anyone else for their first time? Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would agree that this is a good program. We did hear a discussion on this in JAC. And what I'd like to just explain to the folks out there is that if you go into your CAPCON section of your budget book, on page 110, under capital construction for the Wyoming Women's Center parent-child program, they actually had it as priority number 6. That's the reason it's not a part of our JAC recommendations. It's not because it's not a good program. And so that was only for the planning component of it. So the State Building Commission recommended the request for the planning, and the governor did too, the original governor of this budget. So it was denied because it really, in the discussion, it became that it could be built, but that full amount was not put in the budget, so we didn't have it. So we looked at it and said, in 6 months, we'll be back. It can be a part of the next program. I understand that it is a time-sensitive issue, but that's really what happened there. So I'd ask you to resist the amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Throne. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, could you come up?
Sometimes I always wonder if the good speaker pro tem and I were at the same committee meetings because he always remembers more than I do. But I can't recall. I think it might have been that those women didn't have much, that particular woman didn't have a lot of time left in her sentence. But with regard to the Lusk prison, they moved a drug treatment program out of the building that is being considered for the nursery. Moved it into the facility, so that's why they have an empty building there, ready to be renovated into a nursery. The project is, as we say, shovel ready for the fall, and could be built now. They may not have 12 pregnant women now. That's the average number. I think they have probably 3 pregnant women now, is I believe what Director Lampert told me over the noon hour. So for those women, they would be able to take advantage of the program immediately. The other reason to do a shovel-ready, this is a capital construction project. It's fully profiled, as the good chairman said, on page 110. We all know that capital construction projects are likelier to be less expensive this year than next year, and also would be good, modest economic development for the small community in the Eastern Plains. So I think the timing is right. It's a program with a proven track record across the country. And I have some statistics, not to bore you too much with those, but a 2-year evaluation of the Nebraska program showed a 13% reduction in the number of misconducts, reduced recidivism. The children obviously show psychological benefits from being able to bond with their mothers. We've had a lot of discussion about women this session, and I think it's time we do something for women and children after the babies are born. Thank you.
Okay, we are on third reading amendment number 14. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The amendment fails. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I move third reading amendment number 18 to House Bill 1. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a technical cleanup. If you remember, this had to do with the Casper College, and we had adjusted those figures on page 52 on line 10. It had originally said $32 million. We reduced that line to $16 million, and we just need to have this sentence following that, just to clarify that the total project will be $32 million. And if there are no questions, I'd ask for a favorable aye.
Question having been called, we're on third reading amendment number 18. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The amendment passes. We are on to Representative Miller.
I'm actually doing it.
Oh, I guess we'll go with Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, I move third reading amendment number 7 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Again, this is another technical cleanup. This has to do with the college amendments that we did for CWC and NWCCD. It also takes place on pages 52. And again, what we were doing there, the total funding with private funds and other funds is $15 million. We put in $15 million in the amendment, and it needed to be split out at $7.5 million per. So I would ask for a favorable aye.
Question having been called, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those against, please say no. The amendment passes. We are on to Chairman Korber.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem. Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem, I move third reading amendment number 12 to House Bill 1, and I ask for your favorable consideration. If you'll turn to page 61 of the budget, basically my amendment deletes section 343, which is the $15 million given to the governor's office for data center recruitment. And I wanted to have a little discussion on this amendment. I unfortunately was not on the floor during the first reading of the budget bill. I was over presenting a bill down the hall, and I did not hear the discussion on this particular section of the budget bill. That being said, I guess I just wanted to hear some additional information about what was the impetus for the $15 million directly into the governor's office. I wanted to remind the body that in 2009, we passed legislation in the Wyoming Business Ready Community Program allowing for just this same type of scenario, allowing funding through that, through the Business Ready Community Program for data center recruitment. And quite a great process. We're all familiar with Business Ready Community Program and how it works, and I think it's worked very well. So I'm assuming that because of this large injection, and I know that we'll have some additional information, I'm hoping coming from someone, that there must be something in the pipeline to necessitate basically what I see as starting almost a brand new program, only now we'll have two. We'll have one in the business council, and now we'll have one in the governor's office. The interesting thing about the one in the governor's office is there doesn't seem to be any match by the local communities for this money. And apparently the governor retains total control over this funding. If you look on page 62, nothing is appealable. The governor's final decision is findable. Apparently, he's going to have some type of application process. So if he receives more than one application, the grant fund still shall be allocated at his sole determination. So I guess I'm just wondering why the need. Was the need established that we needed to actually do the $15 million? The $15 million's coming from the general fund, and what prompted this whole discussion and this desire to now have two programs, one through the business council and now one through the governor's office? And I just like some additional information, and I'm sure that there's some compelling need to do this, but I'd like some proof of that, I guess. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Chairman Illaway, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, and I apologize to the good representative. I was off the floor, so I didn't hear even that this was up. But anyhow, let's talk about it for just a few minutes. The mega data center bill is going to be signed tomorrow morning. Just to let you know, the $15 million, actually $500,000, is, I suspect you could say that's new money $14,500,000 is not new money. Actually, it's reversion money. It was money that my understanding was that was actually flood money and 10% reduction money. When it wasn't used, it reverted back to the general fund. Both chief executive officers downstairs, the old one and the new one, I guess you can say it that way. Maybe you can say both are young, have felt that this was a good use for enticing or working with mega data centers. And this actually happened, the desire to utilize this $14,500,000 was almost prior to the mega data center bill, because people were nosing around and this looked like a good place to be able to entice some of those folks to do it. Any community is eligible. And when I say any community, that goes from the southwest corner to the southeast corner to the center of the state to the northwest corner to the northeast corner. Anybody is eligible. And it's probably more eligible on the south side because of the huge infrastructure pipes that run along the particular railroad that runs east and west. If you notice on page 61, and it runs for a couple pages of the original budget, House Bill 1, a bond is required, so the companies planning a project will each have to repay the state for the improvements should the projects not materialize. So if in the city across where the university is, goes ahead and uses some infrastructure money to fix that land and put in some infrastructure and so forth, and then this company decides that they don't want that, then it really has to be paid back. It's for grants to cities, towns, and counties for infrastructure, roads, utilities, gas pipelines, electrical, whatever. And if you looked at the information that came on your desk while we were discussing House Bill 117, it was factored in the Business Council's economic analysis, where we as a state over a 10-year project can reap over $160 million in net benefits. I happen to work for the local economic development company down here in Cheyenne several years ago, and I could tell you that it's very difficult to raise enough money for infrastructure, roads, utilities, leveling, and so forth to get business parks ready. You heard yesterday about a company that's moving into the South Business Park that is a private business park. They're going to spend, I don't know, $8 or $10 million to have that land on the south side of this city business ready. It's very difficult for communities, no matter where they are in this state, to have that much money and to actually have a business park and let it sit until somebody moves in. Very, very expensive and very, very difficult. So this money was not utilized. It was reversion money. It came back into the budget, came back into the general fund. And that's why the two executive officers downstairs decided that they thought this was a good use of money for infrastructure. Everybody thought that on pages 61 and 63, that if you looked at it, it was for one city. It's not. If the city in the southwest corner of this state should end up with a data center, they get to use a portion of those funds for infrastructure. It doesn't all go to one area. So, on and against the amendment, and for the money, for the $15 million that's in the budget.
Chairman Semlich, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, I rise with some doubt about this project and for the amendment. The good representative of House District 28, I think, brought out something that's very revealing here, is with respect to not having these funds in the Business Ready Communities program, which a lot of our communities over the years have benefited from that. But it says this project is special. We don't want to put it in competition with any other project, so let's don't put it in the grant portion, the Business Ready Communities. Let's put it someplace else so we can protect it and target it. That's what this is about. I didn't particularly want to mention that this was for a mega data center, but since that was brought up, it says data center recruitment, but it's for a mega data center. I didn't particularly want to bring up House Bill 117 because I wasn't sure that was germane to the discussion, but since we've talked about, the previous speaker talking about the mega data center, that's what House Bill 117 addresses. So to say that we should not put this into the Business Ready Communities program, then we're saying that it's not fair that all the other good projects we have out there in the state in terms of economic development shouldn't compete with this. We're going to set it aside and say, no, this is special, and it is tightly targeted. I somewhat resist the notion that this can go any place in the state, because that's not what we heard in the Revenue Committee when we talked about House Bill 117. This project is tightly targeted for probably one community, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But since you brought up House Bill 117, I'll tell you that the tax exemption that we have offered in that bill that affects this amendment is significant tax exemption. And we've sweetened this deal, and we should. But there's a point when we say enough's enough. Let's don't narrow the focus of economic development in Wyoming to say that one area and one project is more important than all the rest of the state. So on and for the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? First time, Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for my first time to reserve a second.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Brown?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think maybe the difference here might be that it is for a specific project or projects. Those are known, the impact is known on the state. And the ones that we talked about in House Bill 117 are going to have a tremendous impact on assessed valuation in the counties where they are. And this is an additional, I mean, the statement was made, enough is enough. Well, I don't know why that line is arbitrarily drawn and said enough occurred before this bill came along. Enough can just as well be after this bill. But this is an essential ingredient to get this kind of a project. And you had the information at one time on what the impact on assessed valuation would be. The one in my community talks about being a $1 billion facility. You can do the math on that and figure out what the assessed valuation is. And so it's targeted for those sorts of things as opposed to the business council funding, which is of a more generalized nature. I think it's proper to target it. It's something that's needed to make this work. And the state is going to realize over the life of this thing a great return on it. So I think it's a good investment. That makes sense. Makes something happen in our state. We talk about diversification all the time. We talk about jobs. We want to get in manufacturing. We want to do something besides ag and minerals, and here it is. And so this is just part and parcel of it, and I would urge your support of the budget and your opposition to this amendment.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I also have concerns and urge the defeat of this. We don't know who is coming. We're setting $15 million aside. I hear it's available statewide. I hear it's for a specific city, for a specific purpose. I hear about infrastructure. So if they come, it's ready to go. $15 million, as we've been looking over the budget, would cover a lot of neat, good programs that everyone's brought, and we've turned down some and we've approved some. But I think we need to have kind of a more transparent process here of we know who's coming, who it's going to, what it's for. We keep hearing a mega data center, but we just say, well, if they come, here's $15 million. I would like to take $15 million and put it in the budget so we can fund some of these other things. Without an application, the business ready seems to be the way to go. We could go to them, make an application. If it's a good application, then we fund it. If it's not a good one, then we don't. But to just have this $15 kind of a special fund set aside, I just question. I wonder if we're doing the right thing with this. And I'm in favor of the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Nicholas.
I rise on and against the amendment. And just to refresh the recollection of some of the folks here in the House, in the good House, it's the assessed evaluation is may be up to $2 billion on the new construction, and more than that. It will have over 150 full-time employees, all earning a minimum of $75,000 or more. In addition to that, the information that was brought to us is that once you have one data center or one mega data center, they grow and they kind of mushroom out, and that's what's happened in Washington and other places, which means that if this one gets here and if we're lucky enough to land it, that we're likely to have another one also in the southeast corner of the state or other parts of the state of Wyoming. In addition to that, for the particular one that this was targeted, there are three other locations across the United States that are vying for this particular mega data center. Everything is moving. We're kind of late in the game, and everything is all now moving down the road, if you will. And representations have been made, and all we're doing, and in some ways not as much, matching what other states are offering. And so if you're looking at the bundle of goods you receive versus what we're getting out, there's really no comparison to the ultimate benefit that we'll bring to our state versus the money that we're kicking in. The other states that are vying for this are doing comparable things to us, and if we don't do it, we certainly won't be able to have the opportunity to land this mega data center. So I would have you consider that in your thought process on this. Thank you.
Chairman Childers.
Well, excuse me. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, against the amendment and for the bill. You know, these huge projects, there's confidentiality, and that's why some names aren't given. Also, because of our tax structure, there's unusual ways that funding is provided to provide an incentive to bring these companies to here. But the amount of jobs that are going to be developed from this are huge. Also bringing in the other companies that will come in from this one being built is going to be a lot. All you have to do is drive to Fort Collins and see that, the way other companies are brought in by these first companies that are brought in, and I think it's time that it start in Wyoming. I've always believed that the tax structure creates a problem, but I think it's a... I think we've done the best we can and with the type of tax structure that we have. It's going to make money for the state of Wyoming. It's going to bring in people. It's going to bring in other companies. So vote against this amendment and allow the project to go forward.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the third reading amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, a lot of these discussions are still fresh in my mind in Appropriations Committee, how we were very concerned as far as where these dollars would go. And of course, when you look at Section 343, it's very clear that these dollars will be going for necessary public infrastructure. And what I remember, I don't remember exact distances, but the location where this proposed facility is going to go is quite some distance from nearby facilities, which required a substantial investment of our local governments. Which is where the initially started at $14.5 million. Now, that did become $15 million, so we could utilize some of those dollars for some other projects that may be out there, other interests. Now, again, when you – I just want to emphasize this public infrastructure part because this is really important. This is critical. Public dollars going to public infrastructure, recognizing a significant public benefit. A lot of equal signs there. Now, how do we make sure that the public benefit is held in high regard? Of course, we wouldn't be spending $15 million on a project that perhaps only cost $1 million. And that's why you see in the language of the bill that we, in order to assure that the public benefit for this is held in high regard, that we want to see a significant investment for this economic development. And you see that in paragraph B, where we're anticipating a construction cost of at least $50 million. And of course, we all like to see all those zeros and people, businesses coming into our state and investing in our state and providing jobs. Again, on and against the amendment.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem. Members, if you look at page 61, section 343, and if you start on line 11 on page 61 of your budget, enter into the contractor option, buy, lease, real property the data center is constructed, which is zoned to allow the use of the property as a data center. And then B, and then these are the things that have to be met before this money is cut loose. An anticipated construction cost of more than $50 million. Flip over, please, page 62. This is really a key part, too. Page 1, or line 1 of page 62, paragraph C. Posted a bond securing repayment of all funds expended from any grant under this section on infrastructure for the site if construction of the data center has not commenced within 3 years after the last expenditure of the funds. Okay, that's the proposed law. That's how that'll work. Now, this is a big deal. For once, Wyoming, in our remoteness, cold weather, high altitude, might pay a huge dividend. That's what these folks are looking for. This is an unbelievable big deal of a companies that have budgets bigger than our state, workforce bigger than our entire state, huge future-driven kind of investment. Talk about diversification of the economy. The whole tax benefit to locals in the state, folks, on our investment, $160 million. 200 permanent jobs in the $80,000 range. Our kids wearing white coats, tech-type jobs. This is huge. And what a beautiful opportunity. Most states could only wish they had the opportunity to get where we're at on this. This is huge. and we're very fortunate. And boy, it'd be short-sighted on us to take this opportunity. And you can see the bond, and you can see the statute, the way it's proposed to be. This is huge, and don't let this slip by. Opportunities like this don't come very often. And even with our defeat of this amendment, passage of the budget bill, it's not a for sure thing. This is hot competition. People want these all over, and if we're going to have to fight like heck. Our governor's going to have to really work hard. Our business council and economic development folks is by, you know, long ways from a done deal. So, but give us a chance to do a great thing for Wyoming by defeating this amendment. Thank you.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I'd ask you to resist this amendment also. And, you know, there was a lot of conversation in JAC, and there was a lot of trying to figure out the logistics of how this would best work. You know, folks, we do take risk. We've done it before. And one of the examples I think that's really important that actually brings us to this conversation is NCAR. We made that decision, and that has drawn many other opportunities to this part of Wyoming. And I would like to see this type of a center in Sheridan, but I don't have the space for it to take place. There is space for this type of center in the south part of Wyoming right now. I came here to look at ways to create jobs for citizens of Wyoming. And I think that was one of the things that was really impressive to me, is that if we were able to land a data center of this size, the number of jobs, 150 to 200, but more importantly, just in this slump that we have, 500 construction jobs are possible. I think that's what our citizens want of us, is to make certain that there are jobs available for them. So that was an important thing to me. And then it is risky business, and I think that that has already been relayed to you, all the different components of the triggers that we have put in place in order to make certain that we have the best chance to get a return on our investment and that those funds will be secure. And the $14.5 million that was suggested by the two executives of our state does come from reversions that had been rounded up this summer to take care of flood situations, and this was the monies that was remaining. So what we did so that we'd have a clean track was to take those reversions, put them back in the general fund, and take them back out of the general fund. So that we wanted to make certain that we were transparent with that. So I would just ask for you to resist the amendment and hope that we will see some really great results next year.
Anyone else for their first time? First time? We're on to our second time. Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, very quickly, time is fleeting tonight. If you took a look at what was handed out to you a couple weeks ago, property taxes on the equipment, if this particular one came, is $103 million just on property taxes on the equipment. Property taxes on the building is $21 million. Construction sales taxes are $17 million. Electric sales taxes are $9 million. If we get one or two or three data centers, it is going to be huge in the state of Wyoming, and it should pay great dividends. It should help to diversify our economy. The good gentleman from Southwest Wyoming said, no, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it that way. But I can tell you that they have looked at Southwest Wyoming along the tracks because the pipe goes along that way. You have good infrastructure. You have highways and so forth. Don't look negatively on this. I think we're going to get some, and I think we're going to see them other areas of the state, maybe some smaller data centers. You know, last year when we passed a bill on data centers, we talked about a company that a lot of you use with satellites in the sky, and they said they were going to spend so much money. They're doing it. They're here. They are doing it. They are building a data center. So on and for this amendment, let's not let it slip away.
Anyone else for their second time? Second time before the sponsor. Representative Hirschman.
Real quick, folks, I think there's confusion that somehow we're going to just spend $15 million on something and hope they'll come. This money, again, read, I think it's page 63, the top of the page, about there's not going to be a dollar spent. There's not going to be a dollar spent unless there's an agreement that unless this comes, it'll get paid back. We're not going to go out and start plowing dirt, annexing land, and growing towns. This is not going to happen unless we have a deal in hand. And we have to trust our chief executive because we're going to be gone back to our normal lives to get this done. And I hope it gets done. So I urge your strong defeat of this amendment and send a powerful message that Wyoming is open for business. And so thank you, and please vote no on the amendment.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Chairman Corbett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. And I think the my good colleagues for all of the information they provided. And I guess after hearing all of the information, I'm more convinced than ever that we need to pass this amendment. And I'm going to tell you why, because we now have gone from a section that's labeled Section 343, Data Center Recruitment, to really, this is really about a single mega data center. That's what it's about. And if you read the entire language on page 61 through 62, it makes it sound like communities can participate in this process, like the governor's going to be taking applications and then he's going to be making a decision. So you tell me if Section 343 is transparent about what's really going on here. It is not. There's no transparency in that section whatsoever. I still heard no compelling evidence why this $15 million could not have gone to the Wyoming Business Council with the same qualifications, with a footnote that says this money can't go out without the governor's approval. And then it all could have gone through the proper process that it's always gone through, only with new parameters. I saw no compelling evidence. In fact, his letter requested that the money go to the Wyoming Business Council. I think you've put him this language has really put him in a difficult spot, because it looks like it's $15 million for the recruitment of data centers, not for one project. There is no transparency in this entire section, and I encourage you to support this amendment. The money will still be there. The reversion will still happen on and in favor of the amendment.
We are on third reading, amendment number 12. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No.
And the amendment fails. We are on to Chairman Brown.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 1. Ladies and gentlemen, please don't panic. I'm not after $50 million. It's okay. On page 65 of the budget, this amount is already in the budget. It's already appropriated, and this amendment does two things. And there's a mirror amendment on the other side to do the same thing. It does two things. Number one, the whole first page of the amendment takes this project, which is already approved, already in the budget. You can't take it out. It's too late. Too late. And brings it under A&I. And by bringing it under A&I, and the university's fine with that, the A&I department's fine with it, our fine gentleman that runs A&I and does all our construction's fine with it, and by doing it that way, we get his involvement and supervision, which I think is good. He's done a great job, great work for the state, and it allows him to make use of contractor preferences in this project. And gives us a lot better opportunity of having local contractors, in-state contractors, do this project as opposed to out-of-state contractors. The second part of the amendment, which is basically page 2, modifies the language with respect to what the city of Laramie has to do in order to move this project forward. And the original language just said the project couldn't proceed until the city of Laramie vacated Lewis Street. And this now elaborates on that and says, well, we're not just going to do it that way. And so it says, it elaborates on that and says, the city may reserve easements in the street. Well, that's a really good idea because they have public utilities in the street, and they're going to need to have public utilities installed in the street in the future, and they're going to have to construct and reconstruct within the street. Number 2, it requires the university to offer to acquire all real property on that street between two side streets. And that seems only fair if the street's going to be vacated, that there be a standing offer out there so we don't leave any property owners hung up. Number 3, it says that the university, in consultation with the city, shall develop a plan for the vacated street to allow access under limited conditions, transit buses and vehicles, including for special events, access for emergency and utility vehicles, and for continued access to any remaining privately owned parcels. Then it says that the city may vacate the street in stages to accommodate community needs. It says the university shall develop a plan to incorporate consistent landscaping for the growth of the campus to the north of the street. And the university must report to the Joint Appropriations Interim Committee not later than December 1, 2011, regarding the status of offers on the real property, the vacation of the street, and the landscaping and access plans. Now, the reason those additional conditions are put in there and the reason this is needed is we already authorized and built one facility across the street. That's the Anthropology building. Now we're talking about the STEM building, which goes across the street. The campus is moving north, and it's got a dedicated public street that goes through it. Those of you that went on the tour were on that street when you went to the Berry Center. That's the street that we're talking about. And it needs to be vacated, much like the center core of the university was vacated. There's still access in there for emergency vehicles and certain needs, but it's vacated, and we don't have any traffic in there. We don't have any parking in there anymore. This is a similar concept for this street. There's a lot of foot traffic back and forth across the street. There's going to be more and more as the STEM facility goes in. And this provides an orderly way for the expenditure of these funds that coordinates with the city of Laramie and leaves the city with what it needs in the street and allows the university to expand across the street in a way that provides continuity for the campus and safety for all those that have to go back and forth. So that's the reason for it. There's no new money, and I would urge your approval of this amendment.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, pro tem, on and for this amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, we heard more testimony this week on a bill that you haven't gotten to hear yet because we've been working so hard on the budget, but if we had been earlier on that, that really expressed the need for us to look at having this this project and possibly other projects in the future run through our state A&I. Not to hinder a project, but to enhance it, but more importantly, to give opportunities to Wyoming businesses, Wyoming citizens, the opportunity first to be able to get a job, bid, and have the availability to construct with Wyoming dollars. And so I'd urge your support of this amendment.
Question having been called, all those in favor of third reading amendment number 1, please say aye. All those opposed, please say no. The amendment passes. Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I respectfully withdraw House Amendment, third reading amendment number 2, House Bill 1.
Representative Byrd.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to address the body. Locally, we have a project here in Cheyenne that involves the I'll move the amendment. But we have a project here in Cheyenne that involves fixing a park and some other things that goes with it. We have a group of people along with the city who are going to put in matching funds on this. And so what it involves is taking out of a tennis court and replacing it with a new tennis court that is for youth tennis courts. The USTA is involved in this, and we have them on board for some matching grants. And so what we're asking the body here to do is approve some funds so we can get this project off the ground to help the kids in the west part of Cheyenne and the central part of Cheyenne with some activities in a park. And at that point, I'd like to move the amendment.
Representative Teeters, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Standing on and against the amendment, I would just remind the body that we have a substantial amount of money that will be going to the counties through the consensus block grant. If this is a worthy project, these people only need to go to their county commissioners, and they should be able to receive the funding. I would urge you to vote no.
Anyone else for their first time? First time? We're on to second time. Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really do think this is a worthwhile project. It was at my direction that the city of Cheyenne did withdraw from a grant that they had already started down the road at the beginning of last year that would have got this project off the ground. At that particular time, I didn't think that it had been thought through enough through several meetings and researching alternative fund streams. We figured out how to get large community support for this. Again, some other large donations. So the city will be putting up matching funds. Some outside donors will be putting up matching funds. So I believe that what this body likes to see is not just their sole money being the basis for the project, but a whole bunch of other outside sources from the community being integrated into the project for its success. And so with that, I would encourage an aye vote.
We are on third reading, amendment number 3. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The amendment fails. Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I would like to move third reading amendment number 9 to House Bill number 1. In the interest of saving time since it's late, I'm going to give a very brief explanation of this, and if I haven't given enough information, I'll stand for questions and provide more detail in my second time. This is a bill, don't worry, I'm not attacking anybody's project today, and I'm not asking for money. But there is a statute that is on our books, 3612101 through 3612109, that was passed in the early 1980s that had to do with state control of certain land. And it basically said that Wyoming was going to take control of certain federal land that was not being managed in a way that fit with the Constitution. It exempted national parks, military bases, all the normal things. And we brought a bill on part of the original statute called for a commission to be put together and put a report with a plan in place for us to take management of that land by January 1st, 1983. And in our research, we found that report was never done, and we have not been able to figure out why. We brought a bill to update that original statute. It passed on the other side of the body on the other side, and in committee some questions were raised because the updated bill, or the bill for updating the law, basically called for a two-phase plan. It called for studying the original law to see if it was legally feasible to do what we wanted to do and update it, and then if it passed that hurdle, it then called for us to put the plan together. The questions that came up were, well, if we decide to pursue this and put the plan together, there are going to be some appropriations, and we really had no way to determine what those appropriations were going to be. So what I would like to do with this amendment is call upon the Attorney General's office to study the original statutes, determine if it is legally feasible to do so, and report back to some standing committees over the intern, and then that will give us the information to decide if it is worth pursuing, and if it is, we'll know how much money we're going to appropriate in the next budget session, and if they determine that it's not legally feasible, then it will give us a chance to clean up the books and get an old law off of the books that's not doing any good. But the law is sitting there. It hasn't been acted upon. We need to do something, so I believe it's in our best interest to allow them to make that study. We also have identified someone in the Attorney General's office who this will likely be assigned to, who is actually very eager to take this project on. So they have confirmed that they will be able to do it, and I will stand for any questions.
Representative Dave Swanenzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I rise in favor of this. What we're worried about is if we just ask the Attorney General to give us their opinion, we'll get a one page, and what we're asking is for an in-depth study. And I think that's the need for this particular amendment, and I would encourage your aye vote.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I think that an Attorney General opinion is probably necessary in the first place to even consider the feasibility of moving forward with anything. And an Attorney General opinion, a true Attorney General opinion, will be in depth and based on a research of the law, and before any of our committees spend precious committee time on the issue, I think we probably do need an Attorney General opinion. Thank you. So I'd urge you to vote against the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? First time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I was a little confused by the opposition. I'd like to push back on that because the amendment is asking for a detailed Attorney General's opinion so that they can report it to us before we pursue it further. So that is what we're asking for. I think this has the potential to be, if we decide to pursue it, it has could have huge economic implications on our state that could positively benefit us. I would encourage your aye vote. Thank you.
We are on third reading, Amendment Number 9. All those in favor, please say. Yeah, the sponsor's already spoken for the last time. We are on third reading, Amendment Number 9. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The amendment fails. Division having been called, all those in favor, please stand. All those opposed? The amendment fails. We are on to Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I move third reading amendment number 10 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. What this bill is just a small study, a task force, to look at potential future issues that, frankly, we're seeing around the world right now in the Middle East, in North Africa. Frankly, in a state northeast of here, there's apparently some issues in the operation of government and the way policy is registered, the first time in the U.S., recently anyway. Anyway, what this bill does is it's called the Government Continuity Task Force. The task force shall study potential impacts on Wyoming of and preparation of the government and the people of Wyoming for a potential disruption of the United States federal government, including but not limited to potential effects of a rapid decline of the United States dollar and the ability to quickly provide an alternative currency, potential effects of a situation in which the federal government has no effective power or authority over the people of the United States, potential effects of a constitutional crisis, coordination between the governor's office, Wyoming National Guard, and any federal military in Wyoming, potential effects in the disruption of the food supply, potential effects of the disruption in energy distribution. And all those are what-if scenarios. Wyoming is actually a great place to be if something like this were to happen, but I think we need to look at this before something happens. We don't want to happen here in Wyoming what happened down in the south when a certain hurricane hit the coast there. One of the first actions of the local government was to confiscate everyone's firearms. I don't think that would go over well in Wyoming. I think it probably should be talked about beforehand. Natural gas in the wintertime is a requirement here in Wyoming. Again, we need to look at that. If there was a disruption in services nationwide, I think we can maintain the natural gas in Wyoming. The food supply in Wyoming, I've heard the saying that we're 9 meals from anarchy. The average person in their house has enough food to last 3 days. What happens if you go to the store and the store shelves are all empty? It could happen quickly. I think we've saw it again in the Middle East and in Europe or in North Africa right now. And actually, there's even a few European countries over the last few years that it's happened. It's happened, you look in the longer time frame, 50 years, 80 years, it's happened in a major way. In other countries around the world, even in this country, back in the 1930s. So with that, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, we do ask for a $50,000 appropriation. This task force would be made up of two people from this body, two people from the body across the hall, a representative from the Department of Homeland Security, a representative of the Attorney General's Office, the Adjutant General, a person from the Department of Agriculture, a person from the Department of Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. Again, these are all key people in Wyoming that understand certain aspects that would be important to support the livelihood and the support of our folks, our constituents here in Wyoming in the event of a crisis. And again, we need to talk about this before it happens. If it happens, it's too late.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, on and for the amendment. I don't know if I agree with the strongly worded language, but I think assessing our position in the world and how we fit into an ever-changing world economy is very, very important. And planning ahead 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years into the future is also very important. And this is a big piece of that. And so anytime that we can look at those types of things that allow us to understand our place in the world, I think is a good thing. And so I'd urge you to support the amendment.
Representative Pedersen.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I had a couple of questions about the bill and then how it pertains economically, is if in a time of declining in kind of declining U.S. dollar, when our personal debt would decrease and we would stand as a state that makes money on commodity prices, wouldn't we stand to do better as a state in a declining dollar? And these are just the things I bring to the table when we're looking at our alternative currencies issues.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. You know the phrase, if it quacks like a duck, sounds like a duck, it probably is a duck. And my good representative from my area said bill twice. And my good representative Rebecca said a bill a third time. This is a budget amendment, folks. And a bill should be brought during the next session. I oppose this amendment.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Ms. Speaker Pro Tem. My goodness, if we were just doing what we should be doing, we would not be doing much of what we've been doing the last, 2 days on the budget. So I'm not sure the duck is quite where we want to be. But I just think this is something we want to be looking at. I did do some figures upstairs. We get around $3 billion per biennium from the federal government. So I think as the speaker is, the sponsor is pointing out, this is something that, you know, we probably do need to look at. So I'm in favor of this, and I would like to request the appropriation be in gold bullion, please.
Chairman Corbett.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I'm a co-sponsor of this budget amendment, so I clearly support it. I think it's a good idea in today's world that we start taking a look at what the what-ifs and start having some conversation about it and making sure that we're as prepared as possible. I don't think it's news to any of us that we have, a $14 trillion debt. And we live off of debt. We have states that are, right now there's discussion about whether or not to even let them file for bankruptcy. This will all have an effect on how the United States operates in the future, and that affects our state. So I think it's good pre-planning on our part to be able to see what our options are and start taking a look at them for how we can take care of the people of the state of Wyoming.
Chairman McCallum.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I'm certainly glad to see the Director of Homeland Security, or his designee, on here, because they've been doing this planning around this state now and holding meetings in regional areas for quite some time with talking about these very issues. So if you're going to do it, I'm certainly glad you included the people that are probably up on it and can save a lot of time.
Chairman Brown.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I'd like to declare a conflict on this.
Anyone else for their first time? Chairman Berger.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wonder, can we not do this as volunteers of our community? I want to know about that strategy.
Representative Blickery.
Mr. Chairman, fellow representatives, I guess I like this idea, but I don't think that we should do a policy and a budget amendment. And I think it should have been a bill that went through committee and had an opportunity to be vetted by a lot of people. So I'll be voting against it.
Representative Peasley.
That was just his opinion, Mr. Speaker, Mr. Chairman. I guess it wouldn't be complete unless I had something to say on this one. I've just watched the movie 2012, and it just I finally got it in Blu-ray, and it was I'm terrified, so I want to be ready for that. You know, on the other hand, while it seems tongue-in-cheek, I'm watching the cannibalization of a lot of different communities and states and what have you. As one goes under, it demands the others be drugged down with it. Too big to fail, those kind of concepts, and I can just see those hungry people on the West Coast looking at our positive balance in our accounts. And I kind of agree that it should have been an interim study, and it would have been nice, but the movie that I saw tells me that we have to do it now, because everything's going to fall apart. And I remember we tried to get a monitoring station. In fact, the good chairman tried to get us to put one up by the park so we'd know when that was going to start. We don't have that, so I think we need to plan ahead. Listen, I don't see this as doing any harm, and it may be that we have the good people of Homeland Security out running around doing this. But, you know, I guess I'd like to know what does happen when everything falls apart. And I don't want to go there too far, but I don't see any harm in it. And those of you that don't know what I'm speaking of, you can get that on DVD, and you'll know what's going on. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. We are on to our second time, Chairman McCallum.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. A couple times something's been said that I'd like to correct. We have done a lot of task forces with budget amendments. It sunsets them, for one thing. So don't think that this is something that we should be doing with an interim study. If we were going to do an interim study, then that's what this is. And the task force sets it out very clearly what it's all about. So on and for the amendment.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Good discussion, and I don't really bring this amendment lightly. I am serious about it. Again, a little bit of planning would go a long way. Could something like this happen next week, next month, next year, or 10 years from now? I don't think it's in the next month, next week, a year from now, or even a couple years from now, but it could it be 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road? It happened before. We had these depressions in 1873, again in 1893, and then, of course, we had the big one in 1929. They were actually smaller than the ones back in the 1800s, and the government infrastructure pretty much falls apart during these times. Look at Weimar Germany. You know, the inflation of the Weimar mark during that period, it goes hockey stick in a matter of 3 to 6 months, you know, from where it's actually a viable currency, and all of a sudden it takes a trillion of them. I just read that if there's been some hyperinflation in Zimbabwe lately, and the amount they went through in a short period of time, if they had just had one penny like a couple of years before and went through that inflationary period, it would like pay off the entire U.S. national debt. That's how fast this stuff takes off. And again, governments throughout history, this is always the solution to their spending problems, their inability to control their spending in the seat of government. And frankly, I'm not seeing it in Washington right now. And just the news we're watching the last 3 and 4 months, even the last couple of years, that's the reason we bring this. Could they destroy the value of our currency? I think it's possible. How do we protect ourselves? I don't know. Just take a look at it. Again, another reference on the Homeland Security. Yeah, I think they're doing it. They're kind of doing it quietly because I really haven't seen anything about what they're up to. But I do remember during, again, that certain hurricane down in New Orleans. Frankly, guess what happened to all the government enforcement people, the police and fire services and folks like that? They went home to protect their families. Same thing's going to happen in any disastrous situation. Just take a look at it, figure out how we can do it, and it's just a study. It doesn't mean a lot. It's $50,000. I saw us spending $50,000 on a darn fence earlier in this budget amendment. So I think this is money well spent. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
We are on third reading, amendment number 10. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No.
It failed. Division having been called. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed? The amendment fails. Last but not least, we are on to Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, I bring you third reading amendment number 19, and I urge your support. I think it's probably appropriate that we end this budget session with something that touches every individual, every household, every community in the state, and that has to do with trash. So we're going to do a little trash talk here. You may recall that we started about 5 years ago looking at sanitary landfill and what it takes. We were rocking around numbers of about $200 million state expense. We've done a lot of work towards that end. We know more about it than we did 5 years ago.
And this is a start of a sinking fund to take care of those state participation costs in a project that our state is going to be involved in for a number of years. Now, I said sinking fund, not stinking fund. And so I'd like to turn over a little further explanation of how this particular amendment works in this particular process to the good chairman of appropriations.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Of course, I'm on in support of the amendment, but basically we heard through the last few weeks in JAC testimony and also on a bill, and it came about that this is going to be a long-term responsibility of the state of Wyoming. We're going to have communities that are going to have to need some grant money and some remediation that will going on. We had DEQ before us, and we realized that we should probably allocate some of our revenues right now for this project and grow this account over the next few years so that we can address this issue. You know, that's the other thing that we've been discussing here over the last few weeks is just about how we can help our communities, and I think this is a great way to help our communities. Thank you.
Representative Pedersen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, I wanted to, there was, you're going to see some bills coming out of committee that talk about the landfill pieces. And they have written within them some more information about this. But there are 114 landfills in the state, and we had recently 70 of them were tested. And of those, 90% had leakage issues. And so if you extrapolate that out to all of the landfills that are out there, what you potentially have is anywhere from 190 to a $250 million potential liability in relining all these landfills. And so that was the information that was given to us in committee just on this for the body's information.
Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, this is a very good amendment. It's a lot of money, but I really like it, and I like it because it is such a priority with our communities. As we came down, we always meet as local delegations with our local officials. We had the meeting, but even beyond, and they mentioned remediation. Beyond the meeting, there were even letters. Don't forget us. You required us to line. We had big expense, an outlay of local funds to line a big landfill. Now there are three landfills in our community or our county alone that must be remediated. They have estimates of closure, post-closure costs in our county alone of $7 million as the next step that they're facing. So I think we ought to get started on this. And I really like the fact that it directs that the budgets for the next 2 years and the next biennium also include contribution to that sinking fund. Thank you very much. On and for the amendment.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I guess I'd like to know what, you know, it was mentioned about a bill or bills being processed about landfills. And in particular, Senate File 73 provides for orphan landfill site remediation. Of course, environmental assessments, permitting, and so forth. And I guess my question is, how do these two tie together? I know it's a municipal solid waste landfill account, and it does mention remediation in there, but, you know, I would seem to think that this bill, Senate File 73, it actually takes, it's got $1 million in it. Yeah, $1,750,000. I guess how do they tie together? If somebody could answer that, so I'll know how to vote on it.
Representative Peasley.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. I think we have to, I'm on and for this one because I can see now that when the end of the world does take place and everything's falling apart and our money's going out and we can't eat, we'll at least have a good land dump. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? First time? We're on to second time. Chairman Berger.
I actually can't tell you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, how this would tie together. All I would tell you is this is about remediation. It's about the future. It's about helping out communities and building a fund as we go through this process. So it was just that when we heard that bill and had other testimony with DEQ, we realized that this was going to be a huge issue with obligations at about $225 million. And really, at the end of the day, we're responsible for helping those communities deal with this issue. Vote aye.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Chairman Luckhart? Well, question hasn't been called. We're on third reading amendment number 19. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The amendment passes. Calls for a roll call vote.
Barbuto. Berger.
Aye.
Flake.
Aye.
Flickery. Flickery. Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel. Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison excused. Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel. Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
no.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
no.
Kasparic,
aye.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
no.
McComey,
aye.
Miller, Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
no.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
no.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Peterson, aye. Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
no.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
no.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Braunisch,
aye.
Wallace,
no.
Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 45 aye, 14 no, 1 excused.
The amendment passes. House Bill 1, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Flake.
Aye.
Flickery,
aye.
Bonner,
aye.
Botten,
aye.
Brechtel,
no.
Brown,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Bird,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Childers,
no.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison excused, Edmonds,
no.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
no.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles, Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
no.
Kasparic,
aye.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Patton, Peasley,
no.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
no.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Braunisch,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 50 aye, no, 9 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 1, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 1 has passed the House. We are now on to messages from the Senate.
Message number, Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 25, engrossed,
respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Escobel, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace, no, Edmonds, sign representing Berger, chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two appropriations to whom was referred Senate file 50 engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace, no, Escobel, sign representing Berger, chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two appropriations to whom is referred Senate file 102. Respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace, no, Edmonds, Escobel, sign representing Berger, chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two appropriations to whom is referred Senate file 107 engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Escobel, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace, sign representing Berger, chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number four, education, who was referred Senate file 70 engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Brechtel, Burkhart, Connolly, Freeman, Croker, Crone, Laux, Madden, Teeters, sign representative Teeters, chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred Senate file 29 engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Barbudo, Kraft, Gay, Gingrich, Green, Harvey, Hunt, Miller, Peasley. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate file 93 engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Barbudo, Kraft, Gay, Gingrich, Green, Harvey, Hunt, Peasley, no, Miller, signed, Representative Harvey, chairman.
Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, the budget bills listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. In accordance with Joint Rule 14-1, the bill is not engrossed and the adopted amendments are being transmitted with the bill. Ayes 26, noes 4, signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
We are up to re-referrals. Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I would move to re-refer Senate File 70 to your committee number 2, Appropriations.
Without objection, it is so. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I would like to re-refer Senate File 29 and Senate File 93 to Appropriations.
Without objection, it is so ordered. Representative Pedersen.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Members of the 61st, I'd like to, after great trials and tribulations, I'd like to congratulate you all because we pushed out House Bill 1 with absolutely no fuss and no animosity whatsoever. And I want you all to know this is all your bill now, and I want you all to give each other a round of applause and also to thank the good Madam Chair of Appropriations for her hard work. But good job, everyone.
Chairman Childers? Oh, no. Anybody else have any privileges? Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, you just had distributed to your desk something that looks like our bill schedule, but really it's a message that we would like to send to EPA, and there's going to be a signature opportunity tomorrow, but if you'd read this tonight, it'll make it simpler for the people that are coming around asking for your signature. Fundamentally, what it says is that one size does not fit all, and that you shouldn't change the processes that have gone on for years and years and years on power plants, nuclear plants, coal plants, and manufacturing where they use once through water. You should consider the economics before you make a decision that all of them have to go to cooling towers. That's the basics of it, and I'd appreciate you reading it so that when the young ladies come around tomorrow, you'll be ready to sign.
Committee announcements. Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I'd like to announce that tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. The conference committee on Senate File 23 will meet in Senate 19. I'd also like to announce that your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet Tuesday at noon in House 18 to discuss joint interim topics. And Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, while I'm at the microphone, may I have privilege of the floor?
Please proceed.
Thank you. I'd like to just remind everybody to come out for the annual legislative reception at the Holiday Inn for the American Legislative Exchange Council. You're all welcome. Whether you're members or not, come out and find out what it is.
Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet Friday morning, February the 18th, at 8 a.m. in room H11, and we'll have a joint committee meeting to discuss interim topics.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet Friday upon noon recess in H10 for consideration of the following bills. Senate File 38, Engrossed School Athletics Safety, just for you, Representative Pedersen. And Senate File 118, Engrossed Career and Technical Training Grants.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet Friday, tomorrow, 15 minutes after noon recess in room H17, where we will continue to hear Senate File 145, Engrossed, and Senate File 139, Engrossed.
Chairman Korber.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Your committee number 8, Transportation and Military Affairs, will meet 10 minutes after adjournment today in room H17, and we will consider Senate File 124, Engrossed, Overweight and Oversized Vehicle Penalties. And Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, your conference committee on House Bill 124, National Guard Emergency Deployment Professional Licensing, will meet tomorrow, Friday, upon noon recess in S14.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Tomorrow morning, Appropriations, your committee number 2, will meet at 8 a.m. to hear re-referred bills, Senate File 93, Dietetic Licensure, and then Senate File 100, Cruelty to Animals. And, Mr. Speaker, if I may have privilege of the floor, I'd just like to thank all of you as a body for working so hard on the budget and thank my committee for their dedication.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet 8 o'clock tomorrow morning to discuss interim topics.
Chairman McCormick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Two announcements. Your committee number 6, Travel, will meet tomorrow morning at 9:15 to discussion about interim topics. And on Tuesday at the noon, during the noon recess, the joint committee will meet in room H10 for interim topics and also the agencies involved.
Representative Peasley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. The Frank Peasley Fan Club meeting will be canceled this afternoon, and on February 18th at 9 o'clock a.m., there will be a joint conference committee meeting on Senate File number 128, Abandoned Vehicle Storage and Expenses, in Senate 116. If the crowd is too big, it will be moved outside. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I'd like to get through 8 bills on general file today. I'd like to, but it's not going to happen. I'd like to congratulate the Appropriations Committee for good work. Let's give them all a round of applause for the amazing budget. You win some, you lose some, but we've put together a budget that I think we can all be proud of. The people of the state of Wyoming have no right to argue that the supplemental budget was not fully vetted. Tomorrow I'd like to work until about 3:30 with your permission, but then next week we may have some long days as a result, but let's get out for the weekend a little bit early if we can keep our debate reasonable. With that, Mr. Speaker, general file for tomorrow, or Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, general file for tomorrow will be Senate files 146, 9, 115, 55, 91, 65, 10, 119, 33, 79, and 134, and such other bills are as listed. With that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn until tomorrow, February 18th, 2011, at 10 a.m.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. We are adjourned till tomorrow at 10 a.m.